Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Friday morning 30 Minutes of Wisdom with Enlightened Networking. This is Gregory Mascari in Poipu, Hawaii, calling early morning here for us, and I hope it's a wonderful morning wherever you might be. We're very excited to be able to bring these calls to you on a weekly basis. The reason Robin and I started Enlightened Networking in these 30 Minute of Wisdom calls is to be able to share some of the gifts that we've been blessed with along the road of life. And these gifts are really the greatest gifts of the people we've met, enlightened beings, speakers, trainers, and people, just forward thinkers that have a message and wisdom to share. So I'm going to turn this call right over to my partner in life, Robin, who has a very special guest for this very special day, 11-11-11, kind of a cosmic number, to say the least. And so, good morning, Robin, and over to you.
Well, thank you, Gregory, and good morning, everyone, and thanks for being with us, whether you're listening live or on our recording. And yes, it is an auspicious day. There's only one of these, 11-11-11, and we have the perfect guest for today to speak about on the edge of change. And this gentleman is one who truly embodies a quote from one of my favorites, Tom Crum: "May your life of work be a work of art." And what he did was, at age 40, he initiated his own change. You know, there's two kinds: the kind we initiate and the kind that's put upon us. And he left a very successful corporate career of 20 years and moved from Texas to a foreign land, New York City, a completely different environment, rolled up his sleeves and worked on himself. And that backdrop was a huge change for him, and he did transform his life. And now he works with other people on their personal journey. He's compassionate, intimate, humorous. Did you guys like that quote from him on our email? It was one of my favorites. I'm trying to find it. I think it was, laughter is the lubrication for transformation. So as we're going through all these changes, what a wonderful thing to do is to use humor to make that process easier. So his work is to be with people and who are ready for this, who want a fresh perspective on challenges, opportunities, and really help people and empower them to move through these changes in the world and see tremendous, appreciable results in productivity, personal satisfaction with life and work, and truly achievement of what's important. He is a collaborator, and when I first heard about him, I didn't meet him, it was through one of our previous guests, Jane Duper, and when she met him, she just could not rave enough, because when he came into her life did transform. He is a catalyst. I witnessed dramatic shift in her that really embodies the best of life, an extraordinarily successful business, I should say what Jane business is, and a deep and rich, fulfilling life. So it is my joy to share with you today, John Dolwith. Welcome, John.
Oh, thank you. What a great introduction.
Can you
can you follow me around every day and just introduce me?
I'd love to.
I was like, who's she talking about? Oh, it's me. I kept forgetting that it was me. That was a good thing to remember.
Well, thank you. Well, I think we should jump in because, you know, today is an auspicious day, 11-11-11. We only get one of these, and there's people looking at this day in many different ways, on a personal level, on a global level. So how about if we jump in and look at the day-to-day and the macro version? What does it mean on the edge of change, John?
Well, what it means for me, the change is a topic that I love to talk about and teach about and coach on. I'm fascinated by it. And so when you and I were kind of kicking around ideas for this call and we realized the date, it just seemed a perfect time to discuss change. And, you know, for me, there's much talk in the world these days about the changes that are going on. And so I look at being on the edge of change from a macro sense, which would be sort of global change and shifts in consciousness and awareness. and what it takes as a culture and as a people to be out there on the forefront of this change. And then I also look at change on the micro sense, which is change with the individual, personal transformation, which is where I really spend a lot of time. Personally, it's where my body of work is derived from. I work with personal transformation for myself every single day. Quite passionate about it, and out of that passion comes my connection with clients, working with them around their own personal transformation. And it's my gift back to the world is to work with as many people as I can who are waking up to their new self, who are waking up to their transformation. So what it means to be on the edge of change, that's just sort of a little setup for it, but to me what it means to be on the edge of change is that I really believe that life is a collaborative force. You used collaboration earlier in the introduction, and I am a big collaborator, and I see life as a collaborative force with us. And I believe that as individuals, we're programmed to change. As a culture and a people, we're it's in our DNA to evolve and grow. And I think that life hears that, and life knows that. I believe that on some level, we make that as a request of life, that we let it know that we want to change and evolve and grow. And so life puts us out there on the edge. Life says, come out here and play on the edge, past the comfort zone. That's where change happens. And so when I think about the edge of change, what I'm envisioning is that part that's just beyond our comfort zone. That's where the juice is. That's where the transformation happens. It's also the place that many of us push away from. Because being out there on the edge of change, where change is happening, whether it's been thrust upon us, which some change is, or whether it's something that we choose, when we get out there on the edge, it's not always comfortable. In fact, it ain't comfortable at all. Sometimes it's exhilarating, and sometimes it's maddening, and sometimes it's confusing. And in that kind of exhilarating, maddening, confusing place, we push back and we recoil or we retreat because we don't know what's going on. And it's my belief that right there, that discomfort, is where the change is happening. That's where life is asking us to come out and play. And so I work personally and with my clients on recognizing that place out there on the edge of change, shifting their perspective about it, and hanging out there in the discomfort. You mentioned Jane earlier. Jane gave me one of the first great quotes that I love so much about change. She says, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Wow. So let's go a little deeper into this because, you know, the world has never, ever gone through the kind of changes that we're exponentially experiencing right now. And I think just about everyone's uncomfortable because all those systems and things that we were accustomed to taking for advantage, that's just the way it was, are changing without us even realizing it. So what do we need, John, to be out there on that edge? You know, what kind of tools, how can we, get comfortable with the uncomfortable when things are thrust upon us? And then also, how can we even initiate some of our own change to deal with, what's going on?
Well, yeah, so whether it's, and for the people who are here listening live or listening as a recording, what I want you to do is just bring into mind the change that's going on in your life, whether it's something that you've chosen or whether it's something that's being thrust upon you. And then also if you're, we're speaking in this larger macro level as we believe that the world is sort of going through this massive change, you can ponder that as well. And to me, the first thing, it's funny, the first thing that comes to mind as you ask the question is that we need to keep a loose grip. So
I love it.
You got to keep a smile on your face and a loose grip. So I love the metaphor of the roller coaster. And I love the metaphor of the roller coaster as as a way of living life. So if you don't love being on roller coasters, pretend you do and hang out with me for a little bit. So what we need on the edge of change to be out there and to really be graceful with it is a loose grip, just like when you're on a roller coaster. So, we stand in line at the theme park. We pick this scary roller coaster ride to get on it because we know it's going to be a wild ride and exhilarating. But when you ride that ride, if you've ever done one, you know that if you brace against it, if you hold on to that bar that comes in down to your stomach and you hold on really tight and you brace your arms and you brace your body, when you're whipped around by this exhilarating ride, you really get beat up and hurt. So the first thing I think of when you're off there on the edge of change, just like on that roller coaster, instead of strong-arming it, keep a loose grip. You keep a bend in your elbows. You keep a loose grip on the safety bar. But it's the same thing in life. When we're going through change, we need to emotionally keep a bend in ourselves so that we can really move with what's happening. So that's just like an internal piece. What other things that we need out there on the edge of change in order to be graceful with it, in order to be fluid and accepting of it? Again, this is whether you've chosen it or whether it's being thrust upon you. Is a deep sense of self-compassion. I use a tool with clients who are bracing, who find themselves bracing against things or resisting a moment or resisting change. Change, again, it can be not so fun sometimes. It can be a little daunting. So one of the tools I do that I feel really helps ground the person in compassion. Compassion allows you to be more present. Compassion allows you to settle into the moment or settle into the discomfort of change. One of the tools I use to do that is I have people put their hand on their heart, and then I have them just say internally, "I'm here and it's okay. I'm here and it's okay." And that sometimes we repeat that 100 times in 10 minutes. So it's just a way. So compassion is a way to give your. We want to build the muscle. If we're up to big stuff, if we're up to big, growing a business or trying to break a habit or create a new habit, whatever it is, when things get rough, we want to have that really strong muscle of self-care and self-compassion. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'd love you to talk a little bit more about that because it seems that a lot of people that are so driven with their businesses, the self-care piece may not be in a greater balance. There's some people that, are in that balance. Their business suffers, and I know your work is really about having it all.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. It's about having it all. It's about having the successful, crazy, wonderful, kick-ass business, and it's about having a really good, solid, physical foundation, meaning that I always talk about the body as the vessel, so taking care of the vessel. The self-care piece, so we were talking about compassion. Compassion is a internal self-care piece. It's the emotional piece. I'm here and it's okay, affirming the moment, hand on heart, really allowing yourself to support and be with yourself from a place of compassion. And then there's the physical form of self-care, which is around, I just have my little checklist. So it's around sleep, I'd make my little list. How am I sleeping? How am I eating? How am I hydrating? Am I hydrating myself? Am I exercising? Am I moving? Movement doesn't have to be exercise. Exercise is such a loaded word, but I put movement in there. And then what am I feeding myself emotionally and spiritually? So what am I ingesting some great book or audio series that really inspires me. Those are the ways that I have people look for to understand where they are with their self-care. Again, it's sleep, food, hydration, movement, inspiration. Those five things built into your everyday gives you a great foundation of self-care. And
wow.
You got to have that. You have to have that when you're out doing big stuff. And I guarantee you there's not a person on this call who's not up to big stuff. And if you're not taking care of your vessel, if you're not taking care of your body, if you're not filling up your cup, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. And if you're not filling up your cup, then everything you do is done kind of halfway. Mm.
Okay, so that would be the internal. And then as far as, you know, taking care of self and then taking care of business, what would be some recommendations? Because we want to have it all.
Yeah, all right. So on the business front, support comes to mind. Don't go it alone. Get the people in your life and get the people on your team that really can help move your business to the place that it wants to go. The other thing is planning. Planning is so important. You know, I have my own business, and before I really before it really took off, I was just sort of shooting from the hip every day. You know, whatever came my way is what came my way, and that's what I did. But as soon as I started, I reached out and got support. I hired a coach and began the planning of it. So I built out my team and started creating the plans for it, and that gave me a place to point. It gave me some structure. It made some sense out of the madness. So those two things, I think, are super important, support and planning.
You know, it's so interesting as I think about my business and talking to so many people, that shift right there, those two pieces of planning and a team, because so many people on this line are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs in business for themselves, and, you know, we can't possibly be up to big stuff and do it all ourselves.
No.
So where do you start when you're building your team? How do you know what to bring to the team?
Well, here's how I started. I got out a piece of paper, and I built my I just imagined my team. Now, I don't have all the places filled yet, but I started to just, I'm missing a word. There's a word I want, but I just imagined the team, and I knew, and I did that based on what I wanted in my business. So I wanted somebody to help me with my web presence, somebody to build out a website. I knew I wanted an accountant. I knew that I wanted a coach. I knew that I wanted a business developer. You know, I wanted an assistant. So I literally just thought about the structure of my business, or imagined what I wanted the structure of my business to do, to be like, and then I just wrote down the positions that would need to be filled in order to have that structure. And then I just started there. And I created some other. This has been a while. I haven't thought about this in a long time. I'm glad you're asking it, because I imagined some pretty interesting and fun positions. So I had somebody on my team who really helped me with concepts, with imagining where I could take this business. And I got really creative. I just had a bunch of different spots on there that were imaginative and creative, and that helped me understand where I might need the support.
So prior to that piece, because this is where I see a lot of people get stuck, John, is getting to the place where we're even open and willing to reach out. How do we help people get to that place? Because I see that as one of the significant shifts that many people need to make.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. When you ask the question, you know, what comes up for me is, aha, when we're not willing to reach out, here we are on the edge of change again, just to bring the topic back in. So your business is going to ask you to grow and change. It's going to. I really believe that owning a business is one of the greatest vehicles for transformation you can get. Especially, enough said, period. That is my totally solid belief. So you step into the business, you have a great idea, you step into this business and you say, you want to do it because you've got something to give back, you want to make money, all these great things. And that business is going to go ask you to change. It's going to ask you to grow in order to have that vision that you want for yourself. And one of the things that you're going to be asked to do is get support. And then some people pull back from that. So there you're on the edge of change. You got to ask for support. You have to somehow admit you can't do it all yourself, and yet we resist it. And so what's that about? What that's about to me is a question of deserve. Do I deserve it? Aha, that's a great thing to know. Do you believe that you don't deserve support? And so we go about the work of uprooting that belief, because we know that if you try to do this all on your own, if you don't push past that belief of I don't deserve or whatever it is for you, then you kind of just stay in the same place all the time. You don't get the support.
Well, now I read on your website an article on belief. Would you talk a little bit about that? Because that's something anyone can tap into, can't they?
Mm-hmm. Anyone can tap into the article?
The article on belief, because that'll help, I think, kind of loosen up that and increase awareness.
Yeah.
So could you talk a little bit about that article? Because I think that is a
great
place to start,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be?
So what Robin's talking about is on my website, which is johndolworth.com. You can get an article, The Beliefs We Live By. And it's a really wonderful, to me, a kind of foundational setup for helping people understand what's driving their life. So a belief is a thought we've thought so many times that it's just become a belief. It's one thought repeated over and over and over, then it becomes something that's in our, almost in our cell, right? And they drive our life. And if you don't know you've got them, then you're sort of just driven by them. And so I'm a big believer in uncovering our beliefs. It's what they have such a massive impact on our life, and oftentimes we don't know that they're even there. So that article will give people a good sense of sort of how to go about what beliefs might be driving their life and the impact that they would have. And then when you uncover them, sort of what the options are. Sometimes we have limiting beliefs, and what we want are empowering beliefs. So we have to uncover the limiting belief first and then go about the work of cultivating a new belief to replace it. And that's what I love to do one-on-one.
And bring awareness to what those beliefs are. And if we all stopped and took a look at our life, I mean, it's a pretty quick reflection of our beliefs, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Our life is a reflection. Totally, our life is a reflection of our beliefs. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so now we're digging to the bottom here and getting the foundation solid, and now all this other stuff, and we're opening up possibilities. What else can make change easier, John? Because it's an intense time, and, you know, today is a powerful day for, I know a lot of people around the world are making some new decisions on their belief of how to move through these times. So what do you suggest?
Well, I love a good question. And the question that comes, and I don't mean to answer your question with a question, but I'm going to do it anyway, because it's a great tool. And the question is, what am I holding on to that I can let go of? So oftentimes when we reach for change, we reach with something in our grasp, with something already in our hand. And it's holding on to something. It's oftentimes what we're holding on to that gets in the way of achieving the kind of change that we want. So I always ask myself that question, especially when I feel stuck. So out there on the edge of change, when you're up to big stuff, you want to make it a practice of checking in and seeing, what am I holding on to that I can let go of? Because often that's oftentimes what is exactly in our way.
So that question alone can be a powerful shifter to kind of loosen things up and make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what else? What other ways can we get new perspectives, some other tools? Living in the question is one of my absolute favorite tools.
Yeah.
Are there some other questions, some other tools you think?
Well, yeah, I'm going to use an example. Well, I'll use two examples. One is your friend, who you explained to me, one of your friend there in Hawaii whose house burned down. And to me, that's a change that was thrust upon them. But what you reflected to me, or what you explained to me, is that they had gotten to a place where they saw that loss of their house. They wrapped a beautiful story around it. And this is the power of a perspective. So one of the tools that we can use when we're going through change is change our perspective, shift our perspective. So these folks lost their house. Horrible. Wouldn't wish it on anybody. The perspective they wrapped around it was Phoenix rising. So they saw their circumstance and themselves in it as a phoenix rising out of the ashes. That's a powerful, powerful perspective that shifts them out of a place of victimhood to a place of empowerment. So that is one of the best tools you can have in your arsenal, is when you're faced with a change, tune into what story you have wrapped around it, and then look for a more empowering story.
We certainly have a lot of opportunities these days to do that, don't we?
Oh my gosh, yeah. What we tell ourselves is crucial, and we have to build the awareness of listening to what we're telling ourselves, because our life is completely dictated by what we tell ourselves. So the question is what you're telling yourself empowering you, lifting you up? Or is it tanking you? Is it bringing you down to your knees and filling you full of doubt?
Wow. Well, I really see you as not just a collaborator, but a powerful catalyst for people making these shifts. And you have lots of ways people can access your wisdom. So you want to talk about a few of those? Because
sure.
You have several things. And I love when I joined, it was... Thank you for joining my tribe. I loved it.
So what I love to do is work one-on-one with people. Absolutely adore it. My goal is to touch as many lives as I can to help people wake up to their own transformation. It's one of the greatest. Once you get into your transformation, it's beautifully and wonderfully addictive. So the first way that I've that people can work with me is one-on-one. I'm extremely generous with my sessions. So if you guys, that means that if you have any curiosity in working with me, I would love for you to email me or call me. My contact information, is it on the website, Robin, or do I need to give it?
Why don't you give it,
okay.
And then we can make sure everybody has it.
The quickest way to get to me is telephone 212-564-9312. That's 212-564-9312. Email me, John, J-O-H-N, at, and then my first and last name, John Dulworth, DULWORTH.com. John Dulworth.
Oof.
And my web address is johndulworth.com. You can Facebook me. So that's how you get a hold of me. Mention this call, and I'll do a free comp session with you. No agenda, just come and hang out. You can hire me or not. I don't have a preference. I'd just love the opportunity to be with you. So, and then I've got also a course that's coming up in January that I'm calling The Anatomy of a Kick-Ass Life. And that will be on my website soon, but you can also just email me and tell me you're interested, and we can talk about that. I also have what I'm calling the On the Edge of Change community that's starting here in the next week or so, and it's going to be I'm going to help a small group of people go through the process of creating a new habit or shifting something in their life, picking an area or two that they want to see a change in, and then working as a group through that process over the course of just a few calls. It's going to be a low-cost sort of way to see some to work with me and achieve some change in your life. So there's a handful of ways to be with me.
And people can join your tribe by joining your email.
Opt in on my website. There's a little link. You'll get the article, At Least We Live By. It'll just drop your email address in there. And I've also got a Monday call that I'm having on Monday night that's going to be on this topic, but it'll be an hour instead of a half hour, and that's free. And you can opt in on my website, and you'll also get the call-in information for that.
Wow. There's, like you said, you are very generous, and people have to be ready because I know that anyone that gets close to the spirit of John is about to make some really exciting, empowering changes. So any other final comments before we close our recording? And I know you have to leave right away because you have a client, so we won't have our open Q&A this time, but you can have it first.
Oh, you know what? I can hang out.
Oh, you can? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I can totally hang out. So,
great.
I don't have to be anywhere till the noon hour. So, but my closing comments are: be kind to yourself. Be super sweet and kind to yourself. We are so harsh on ourselves; it's ridiculous how harsh we are. So, be kind and laugh. Use your laughter, because that is the lubrication for transformation.
Oh, I love it! Thank you, John. I am personally looking forward to my session with you, and
yay.
I had to take a deep breath because I know there's some big changes about to happen. So I'm excited to have you on my team, and I wanted to let everyone know that next week is the Friday after Thanksgiving. We're going to have a different kind of call. We're going to have about 10 minutes of really looking at what gratitude and appreciation is, and then we're going to open up the lines. So everyone has a chance to share publicly on our call what you're grateful for. And then we're going to get into some really practical tools the next week on, you know, taxes is a game and we play to win, with some experts that work with small business people, home-based businesses, direct sellers, to really help all of us win the game of taxes. So we've got, you know, all kinds of things ahead. And if you're not with us next week, have a really, really wonderful holiday. And I want to thank everyone for joining us on our 30 Minutes of Wisdom. Any final comments, Gregory? No final comments. We're going to stop the recording, and then John's going to stand for a few minutes for anyone that wants to have any comments or questions for John. Stand by, please.